Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Motion. Smith, left to right. Hurts, pitches it up to Goddard. Touchdown!
Little shovel pass.
Another shovel pass to Goddard.
Little shovel pass.
Well, one of two to Dallas Goddard yesterday. Similar in nature, creative, and effective. Good morning to you. Twitter poll question of the day really gets to the heart of a lot of what we're talking about here on the pros and the cons of what went on yesterday. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people. Well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question from yesterday's game. You thinking more about the positives or the negatives? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let me give you a big old positive. Has nothing to do with yesterday's game. Phillies playoffs starting 5 days! 5 days to Citizens Bank Park, Red October, the Phils and the Reds. And if you do not know, WIP will have a big old pep rally, a Red October rally, that is, on Friday, the day before the game, as not our program, because we're always at Borgata on Fridays. But the other two shows that follow us, Joe and Hugh, Spike and Ike, their programs from 10 to 6 p.m. will be at Stateside Live. Right there in the sports complex, that is, of course, what formerly called Xfinity Live. So Stateside Live, the program's 8 hours of WIP right there, right by the ballpark. And I hope you can certainly listen, but if you want to get there, please do, because it should be quite a day, the day before it all goes down, or at least starts going down, at Citizens Bank Park with Game 1. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to the Bat of the Bone Award coming up soon. On the Eagles' win. Look, here's where I'm at big picture on that victory. For me, much more positive than negative. Much more. I thought the first half was as well as this group has played. And I say this group, I mean this era of Eagles football. Other than the Super Bowl and probably the second half of the NFC Championship game versus Washington, people forget that was actually a close game till near halftime. And then it was the second half when the Eagles put it on Washington last year. I thought the first half was about as well as the Eagles have played in this whole era. And I was incredibly encouraged with Jalen's performance in that half and just the way the offense hummed. Defense was doing its thing. The Bucs, you know, being pretty good didn't matter. The Heat didn't matter. And I thought my team has arrived. And that sounds weird because they already won a Super Bowl, but I felt like they had taken it up to a higher level and I could say this is what they can be consistently moving forward. Then you see the second half and it's a reminder, no. They are a team that often wins via the root canal. And it's frustrating. I mean, it is. And we're going to continue to diagnose the whys. And here's the thing. Last year I told you oftentimes I thought it was primarily Jalen holding them back. This year it's far more complex. He is having his moments, clearly, where he is struggling in stretches. But the offensive line is struggling more. Saquon is struggling a ton. The play calling may be struggling dramatically. Now, it's a little hard to discern. Because, you know, when you put that much together, I mean, is it definitively Petula or not? I'm still not. John, you think it is? Do you think Petula is part of the problem, even though they're 4-0?
Yeah, he's the offensive coordinator. He's the play caller. Yes, he's absolutely part of the problem. But so is Sirianni. So is Jalen Hurts. So is A.J. Brown. So it's everyone working together. And so is Lane Johnson, whether he's in or whether he's out. You know, so we have
Dickerson's name.
Both of our guards have been struggling in major ways. Dickerson, I mean, just watch the way he's been struggling in pass protection. It's tough to be battling moving backwards when you got banged up wheels. Like, that is a tough It's a tough ask. And you got Steen on the other side. He's in and out with injuries. And, yeah, they are sort of – they're making do right now up front, the offensive line. And then when you've got a really talented defensive line, you know, led by a guy like Vita Vea, like yesterday, and then you got a defensive coordinator on the other side who's going to – you know, game it up a little bit and stunt those defensive linemen when we've got a compromised offensive line without our best player on with Lane Johnson sitting on the sideline. It's tough to pick up those stunts with the same, you know, level of integrity that we provided for Jalen Hurts previously. So now you got leaks. Now you got that clock in his head sped up. Yeah. And now you got these routes being, predictable. You got these routes being, you know, when we need 10, 8. You got these, you know, a lack of motion and everything else. I think A.J. Brown and everyone else who watches or is part of this offense is frustrated. This is a frustrating offense.
Well, it is. So,
but
they win.
It's a week-to-week proposition.
Well, and they always win.
Next week, they'll be better. I know they'll be. They're going to work on.
Well,
these
I don't know. I don't know that they'll be better.
They'll be. Come on. That's
well. In the first half, they were about as good as they can be.
I expect by the end of the season, just like we're seeing. We'll cross it weird here. Just like we're seeing with the Phillies, you know, sort of peaking at the right time. I saw the Eagles peak at the right time last year.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they always will. Look, let me.
You're right. It's not easy to pull that off.
It's not. So two things I wrote down before the show, and I believe both are completely true. And, you know, the first is no great team has ever been more maddening. I mean, they drive you nuts. The way that it's almost like we have to suffer through that every game is to survive in advance. But here's the point two. But they do advance. They do win. And point two is I wrote down, but they are great. Truly elite. Likely the best in football again. I've never really, as a sports fan, experienced anything like this. They win via tremendous struggle, yet they always win. So we'll take your reaction on how you view the whole thing. And also the AJ thing, if you're not aware of what AJ did post-game, because you know what AJ did in-game. He had 2 catches for 7 yards. After the game, about 2.5 hours after the game, he went to social media and posted the following. And this is not good. He posted, if you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders. And be on your way.
So McLean had his story this morning, and he said that quote was pointed at someone or someone's internally with the Eagles. Two sources close to him said.
What do you mean pointed at? What does that mean?
He's referencing his
frustration with certain people?
Certain people. I mean, it didn't say teammates. It said someone internally with the Eagles.
Is your sense that it is the offensive creators, meaning the Sirianni's and the Petulas?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I tend to think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we know at times AJ's been frustrated with Jalen in past years. We know that. But I tend to think this one is more about the way the design is being put together by the coaches. But it's not good. And it's something that Sirianni, Hurts, other leaders are going to have to deal with. AJ's a leader himself. Look, I don't know how AJ's held his frustrations in. I think, frankly, he's done a pretty damn masterful job over the last couple of years of holding frustration in. But with that said, I wish he had held this one in too.
I agree with that. He has done a great job of doing the yeoman's work.
Yeah.
You know, like he has developed his run blocking game into where he is dominant. He is he was always a dominant blocker. I mean, he's a physical marvel out there, but he continues to work on his technique, and you know, he locks guys down.
With that said, going public with this tweet's not ideal.
Not ideal.
And it's going to cause him a mess. Look, we'll talk to Sirianni about it tomorrow, 8:40. Nick Sirianni typically with us Tuesdays at 8:40, so we would expect him tomorrow. Ray Dittinger is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Let's get to Derek right now. Good morning, Derek.
How you doing?
Good, man.
Great, Derek.
Hey, Joe, just real quick. When you say that Jalen Hurts, like they simplify the offense because he can't handle it, like that's sort of like that was like the stigma in like the 80s and 90s for black quarterbacks. So when you say that, man, that just rubs
Well, it's not a racial comment from my end, Derek. Well, Derek, hold on. I'm telling you from my end, it's not a racial comment. You can believe me or not. I'm telling you that. It's how I interpret how the Eagles coaches interpret what is best for him in the offense and what is not. And I think they think, to me, what they do reminds me a lot of the pick and roll, what Stockton and Malone did. There's a simplicity to it. And it can be very, 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 very effective.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And obviously is...
There is so much that goes into every single snap that we don't even consider.
Yeah, but a lot of what they do is read option stuff based on Jalen reading that guy on the outside and which way he goes. Does he crash down on a running back or not? And then he makes a decision. But as far as the routes go, and like, is it full field reads? Often it's not, Derek. Often it's not. And I think the Eagles coach it that way.
Anyway, with the A.J. Brown thing, right, this is what frustrates me about that. People like Nick Sirianni, when he comes on the radio, he always, like, defends his guys. Like, even with Jalen Carter. So for A.J. Brown to put that tweet out, like, he has all opportunity to go in there and express whatever his frustrations is to whoever he's frustrated with without going to Twitter. He has millions and millions of followers, right? So when they ask him questions about it this week, I hope he owns it, right, like a man, because he's the one that put it out there. He didn't have to put that out there. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
He's allowed to be frustrated. Like, he's a receiver. He wants the ball, right? But
yeah.
Don't ever let your emotions, because you're not getting the ball, overshadow a win. Because are you playing to win, or are you playing to get as many yards as you can get, and then you don't care if you win? I just feel like Nick Sirianni does a good job of keeping us out of the locker room, and then A.J. Brown is bringing us in.
Sure.
So if he comes out today or tomorrow and he owns what he said, like a man, I might feel different.
Well,
but all that, like, you know, being deflected and him reading a book on the sideline and trying to play it all off as my frustration, that kind of rubs me the wrong way.
All right, so Derek, I'll tell you this one, man. Appreciate the call. This one's going to be tough. So let me go back to something right before the season started. I was listening to the afternoon show, Spike Ike and that Boban. And they were talking before the season. They had an over-under, I think at 1.5, it may have been 2.5, for pretty significant Eagles controversies in season. And they said, based on last year, they thought last year, and I think they're right about this, they said they thought there were two controversies last year. One was right around this time last year when Sirianni's yelling at fans, we're reacting to that. He's reacting to that. Players are reacting. Like, that was a pretty big story locally and nationally. Sirianni fans, they're 2-2. Everybody's kind of in a bad mood. That was a pretty big one. And then a bigger one was the AJ Jalen Brandon Graham thing, which happened right around early December. And they defined those two, and I think they're right, as the two controversies last year. I think this one is one. I if you follow the bouncing ball over the next couple of days,
what
I think
controversy is this one?
AJ and what he tweeted and the ramifications, what it means about him with the coaches, him maybe with the quarterback, him maybe with the team.
About,
is he going to be on the team next year? Like, I think this one over the next 3 to 4 days is going to be, especially there's no Phillies games. Like, I mean, there very soon will be, but like, there's no game tonight, no game tomorrow with the Phillies. I think this is going to be pretty big.
Maybe.
Because it's the first time where I truly wonder if he'll be on the team next year.
Well, I don't know. I don't take it that far. I do wonder if the Nick Sirianni taunting or whatever he was doing with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but that's small potatoes. That's,
is it?
Yeah. It is not, Joe.
It's not going to be a major controversy.
How is it different than the last time the Sirianni thing blew up? How is it different?
Well, he's proven he could win a Super Bowl since then, so I think he gets a little bit more leeway.
It speaks to his players.
Rhea, I don't love it.
Let me be clear. I don't love it,
but I'm just saying, do I think it's going to be a controversy on the level of A.J., Jalen, and Brandon Graham last year? No. I'm not saying it's a non-story, guys. I'm just saying, do I think it's going to be a major controversy? No, I don't.
I'm saying it's a problem because the Jalen Carter thing.
I agree with
the taunting.
I agree.
When their coach is doing that on the sidelines,
I agree.
There's no repercussions
oh my gosh,
for
no
them.
Question.
No, I agree with both of you. I wish he wouldn't do it, and I think it makes him in a compromised spot to tell the guys, hey, guys, knock it off when he's part of it. I mean, I do agree with that. But listen, when AJ tweets... And again, just to be clear, John, because I do think his status for next season comes into question, when he tweets the word withdraw, if you're not welcome, not listen to, quietly withdraw.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like, that could be, hey, I don't want to talk to the media after the game. That could be, hey, I don't want to be on the team after the season. Like, I mean, and so people interpreting it as they will and how they'll answer questions, like, it's a complex situation. I believe very complex. All right, Bat of the Bone Award. When they lose... It's blame balls, but when they win, it's game balls. Let's crank it up with the Bat of the Bone Award. I'm just going to take a stab at it that most of these will be first half focused because, you know, that's when they pretty much won the game. All right, John Ritchie, game ball. Who do you got?
Yeah, I was going to, man. I was going to give it to one of our young cornerbacks. You know, Cooper DeJean led the team in tackles.
They made a lot of plays,
Quinyon,
both those guys.
Made a lot of amazing coverage plays yesterday on Abuka. But I'm going to give it to the guy who helped contribute to that massive first half lead with a huge play. Cam Latu,
I agree, John.
Blocks the punt.
Yeah.
Beats the blocking scheme, beats the snapper, and blocks that punt. And then this guy's playing fullback, guys. He's wearing number 36. You know, Brian Westbrook. Oh, man. I love you, man.
Yep.
Love you. But this guy is kicking out the end man on the line of scrimmage. This guy is lead blocking with Saquon, you know, trying to run behind him.
Apparently not very effectively.
We need better blocking by the offensive line. Cam Latu can't do it all himself.
I got to keep it real, Seltzer, all right?
But Cam Latu, not a lot of snaps, but I would love to see more of this young man. He really is a tough football player.
Look, I thought it was the biggest play in the game. I really did. Seltzer, what do you got? Game ball.
I thought about the young cornerbacks, too. Another young player on the defense. But we're a month into this season now, and Zach Bond's real, man. Like, last year was not a mirage. It was not like a...
No.
Dude, he's one of the best players in football.
Amazing.
Like, flat out. I think he's one of the best players
mistakes.
In the sport. That I know they ended up getting the first after. That third and one play, where he ran five extra yards to make that play. I mean, he is all over the field. I'm so impressed with that guy. He's clearly a leader on that defense. Zach Bond deserves a game ball.
That play reminded me, you might remember a game in like 2016. It was early dog when Sean Lee made a play against an Eagles running back, and it stymied what otherwise would have been an Eagles conversion. Eagles lost the game. It reminded me a lot of that play. Rhea, give me an answer here for a game ball.
I'm going to give it to Vic Fangio because, you know, he's got a compromised defensive line that cannot get after the quarterback. I mean, they're not getting sacks, but he's getting – and he got that unit to play in that second half when they were on the field a lot. I mean, their offense did them no favors to come up with the two huge turnovers, the interception – and the forced fumble. I just think he's the offense is way more talented than the defense, and I trust the defense more.
I do too. I agree with both of those statements. So first half, I was thinking the game ball was going to go to Jalen Hurts and John out of the gate because I thought it was about as well as he's ever played first half. But it's hard to give him game ball when the second half he can't complete a pass. Not all his fault, but obviously he had a role in it. And it is very possible that he was injured from that hit because he took a big hit, and it looked like his play dramatically slipped thereafter. But I thought both excellent young corners were excellent plus. Now, they got to control their emotions at times. Quinyon Mitchell, I thought it was well pointed out by Tom Brady, has to be more careful because he could have been flagged three or four different times for grabbing the jersey. But because he was not flagged for those individual ones, I'm going to give it to Quinyon Mitchell. Both guys were all over the field. I thought yesterday was a great example of why Cooper DeJean is a slot corner. His tackling is like a linebacker.
Maybe the best tackling corner I've ever seen.
And that's why they want him in there. They want him in there because he can tackle like a linebacker.
I wanted to give this award to him today because of the way he tackles.
Well, no, it's huge. It's huge.
How awesome he wraps people up. He, even though he doesn't have to, because he is blasting them.
Yeah.
He is making them go the wrong way. And I love seeing a guy who just smacks people.
I'll officially give it to Quinyon, but to me, it's just about a coin flip between Quinyon and Cooper. Both guys, barring injury, are going to be $100 million players in a couple years when they're eligible for a contract. I mean, major hits on those two draft picks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.